Can I just say thanks to Paul and the team this morning? Can we give them a great big clap? That was great. You know, it's good to be in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? It's the best place. One day in your presence is better to me than 1,000 elsewhere. And just to be able to come into the presence of the Lord and have that sense of the Holy Spirit is precious. You can't sell that, can you? You can't buy that. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, doesn't it? Ho, if you're thirsty, come to the water. He who has no money, come buy and eat. And the issue is, it's free. And if there is anyone here today who's perhaps come as a visitor, maybe you're thinking to yourself, what have I come to, or what on earth's going on here? That's okay. If you're thirsty, in life, there's an answer, and that answer in life is Jesus Christ. So praise God for that. And again, thanks, team, for that. I want to share with you this morning, I've been tasked with sharing on a theme in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I've got a PowerPoint, and I'm just going to hopefully collect my little dibber. I don't know where it's... Oh, there you are. That's okay. So, Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading from the first verse, and I'm not going to be reading every verse, so you're going to be hopping around a little bit. We're going to be reading the verses that are on my sheet, okay? So if you think somebody's pinched a few verses or that I'm sort of trying to manipulate the text, I'm not. You can see that I'm not. And the theme really today is about being members of one another. And it's an interesting one because when I was asked to speak on that, it made me think and reflect on what that actually means. We're going to start with Ephesians 4, then I'm going to look at that in a context, because sometimes what we do is we look at verses, we take scriptures, but we only limit our understanding of them when we take them out of context. So we don't take text out of context, and we're going to build a picture. Paul, amazing guy, he layers truth, he builds truth on truth on truth on truth, okay? So when we join Ephesians chapter 4, you must realize that it's actually something that's built on something that's been stated previously. Are we good? Excellent. Thank you. So I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1, and it says this. It says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Or if you look in the margin of your Bible, it will probably say gave gifts of men. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom, verse 16, the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for you are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that your word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Father, we give it permission, the permission for your word to enter into our lives and carry out whatever surgery is necessary for this body to be healthy, for this body to be whole. Holy Spirit, be our teacher this morning. Be the revealer of truth, because, Father, we declare that it's the truth that sets us free. And we want to live as free people, not as bound people. God, help us today to give up in order to grow up. God, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to look at this in a context for a few minutes, and then we're going to get to the hub of this particular text. And whenever you want to look at a text, as we said before, look at it in its context, and the context is Christ. It's always interesting, of course, when people use the Bible for all sorts of reasons and manipulate it in so many ways. We all need to recognize and remember that the central pivotal point of the Bible is Jesus Christ. Everything is about him, it flows from him and to him. And when people try to take Bible stories or Bible texts out of the light of Jesus, then it's very easy to distort our thinking and distort what we're about. Some people, the Bible is a book of rules and regulations. Cults and sects take Bible verses and they twist them and distort them to make it say what they want it to say, but keep a Christ-centered view of the Bible. It's the only way you'll truly understand what its purpose and intention is to be. So the context, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and it's interesting, the last time I shared here, which I'm not sure when it was sometime in the summer, we talked about this a little bit, because the springboard of Ephesians, what Paul does is he paints a picture of heaven, and he tells us who Christ is. And the first stepping stone of any truth has to be the establishment of who Jesus Christ really is, his true identity. Do you understand? For some people, they accept and acknowledge that Jesus is a teacher. For others, they accept and acknowledge that Jesus is a prophet. For some, they accept and acknowledge that Jesus is a healer or a miracle worker. But Ephesians paints a picture of Jesus Christ, who is sovereign and he is Lord. Okay. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So heaven's reality is this, that this morning as we are sitting here, that we are a blessed people, okay? Blessing is not a future tense thing. He has blessed us. Okay, is that okay? He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we spend a lot of time trying to get something or obtain something that God's already given to us. And there's nothing more frustrating than trying very, very hard to obtain something you've already got. It's dumb, isn't it? He has blessed us. Not will bless us, has blessed us. I wish your face would look blessed this morning. You are blessed, but you don't know what's going on in my life. Well, you don't know what's going on in my life, but it doesn't change the truth that I have been blessed in Christ. Okay, it's the truth. At verse 20 of chapter 1 says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age. So Christ's reigning in this age. We think he will reign, but he's reigning in this age and also in the one to come. So who's on the throne today? Jesus is on the throne today. This is the truth. Ephesians chapter 1. That's the foundation point. Ephesians chapter 2 progresses this reality. And it tells us that he has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us, in verse 6, raised us up with him and seated us, not will seat us, but has seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. In other words, we occupy the same place that Christ occupies today, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Isn't that a good starting point? This is a launch pad of truth, folks. So get it sorted in chapter 1 and get it sorted in chapter 2. Vitally important. We lose focus on truth very quickly. It's the truth. Okay, so our starting position. We're blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We're alive together with Christ. We're alive. We're saved by grace. We're seated with Christ, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named. Can we all go home now? Let's just go and live it, folks. Isn't that great? But it's truth. The difficulty is that we very often experience a disconnection between our truth and our reality. But God is not going to change your reality until you start to connect with his truth. God's not going to change his truth to accommodate your reality. He wants to invade your reality with his truth, because it's his truth that sets you free. It's the truth. Okay, so keys to successful living. Recognize who Christ is. This is a constant, not a once on a Sunday moment. Recognize, get your head sorted around who Christ really is, sovereign ruler. The devil does not rule and reign in your life. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's our ascended reigning Lord. He is seated. Why is Jesus seated? He's seated because he's finished his work of redemption. It's finished, said Jesus. It's completed. The price is paid in full. You only sit down at the end of the day when you've completed the work. Jesus has completed his work of salvation on your behalf and mine. So he's seated. Jesus is not running around heaven panicking. Father, what are we going to do now? I thought it was all a done deal. And look, they're having a crisis. They're having a meltdown. What are we going to do? Jesus is seated. Isn't that good? Because of his total confidence in what he's accomplished for you. And he has all authority. And then we need to recognize who we are as those who are now in Christ, seated with him. How come I'm seated? It's because there is nothing left for me to add to the salvation that Christ has already accomplished for me. There is nothing that I can do to add to the fact that I am in Christ and I am saved. That means that I am set free and I am delivered. And in Christ I am complete, according to Colossians. Isn't that a great place to be? And that's our starting point. There's the starter. Okay, we move forward, we move on to the main course. All right, so, hello. Are you receiving me? Breaker 1:9. Big buddy. Okay. In chapter 3. You still got that? Where's a few pop on those now? In chapter 3, the mystery of the gospel is revealed. This is tiered truth. This is Paul laying a foundation, who Christ is. Second chapter, who we are. Third chapter, the mystery of the gospel, to bring to light for everyone. Listen, the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for everyone, to bring to light for everyone. What is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things? So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God has chosen to use the church as his vehicle to express the life of Christ in reality on planet Earth. Wow, just look around, and it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Anyway, yes, I can see some bemused people sitting here. Okay, look at the person on your left and right and say, you're a mystery. Anyway, never know, we move on. And then Paul in Ephesians 3. It's a mystery to me. Anyway, Paul, he prays for our spiritual strengthening. That's according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Whoa, I need a bit of that. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Who is he talking to? Not just individuals, he's talking to us collectively, because as a people of God, As a gathering of God's people, we need to be filled with all the fullness of God. There's your platform. Okay, now. The passage started off in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, I therefore. And a therefore statement is a statement, for those of you who are mathematicians or at least did your GCSEs, you remember there's a little three-dotted symbol that means therefore? Therefore, basically as a summative statement, it means based on the previous facts or based on the previous numbers or based on the previous formula, therefore, based on those facts, this is the outcome. Do you follow that? So, therefore, and Paul says, therefore, on the basis now of the facts that I have just established for you, therefore, as a consequence of those facts, I'm urging you to walk. Because previously, the dominant verb has been that Christ is seated and we are seated with him. This is our heavenly reality. Now, Paul is pointing us to the consequential earthly reality that we need to live in. Okay. Because we're great at times when we talk about being in the heavenly realm, which is right, but I have to now walk that out in the earthly realm. This is where walking becomes the verb. Because my heart may be in heaven, and my identity is in Christ, but I have to walk that out on planet Earth. So we're now shifting the focus from heavenly to earthly, and the two should be connected, because you will only ever walk effectively on this planet as a true believer in Jesus when your heart is connected with who you are in heavenly places. Do you get that? There's the bridge. So we walk. Our outworking, our walk, our conduct, the way we approach life on planet Earth is in a manner worthy of the calling. That means that we conduct ourselves as an expression of the heavenly reality that Christ has placed us in. Do you understand? For me to not conduct myself in my daily life consistently with my heavenly reality is a massive problem. There should be no mismatch between what I'm exhibiting on the earth in terms of my interrelational and all of and my workplace, etc., and that which is my heavenly reality. Now, there's a difference between my heavenly reality and some people's woolly-headed reality. Okay. Some people live in heavenly places, and some people live on another planet. Okay. We're talking about, in the church, heavenly places. Okay? We're not talking about extraterrestrials. And there are some Christians who, to me, resemble extraterrestrials rather than heavenly place livers. Okay. Is that judgment? Well, okay, fair enough. I'll let that stand. You don't need to edit that out, Pete. All right. So it's our conduct on earth. And he goes on because the heading at the top of my Bible in this chapter says unity in the body of Christ. Do you know what? I love it when we talk about heavenly places. And then I've got to look around and I've got to say, I've got to walk in unity in the body of Christ. Amen? Well, you're the ones laughing, not me. Okay. And now, not you will be, now you are the body of Christ. So we've established at the outset of Ephesians that he's the head. Now we're the body. We are the visible, physical expression of Christ on planet Earth. Yeah? And each one of you, 1 Corinthians 12:27, is a part of it. So you're part of the body. So for some of you who like to be in heavenly places, but when you open your eyes on a Sunday and you look around, you think, I'm not quite sure I want to be in this realm much longer. The truth of the matter is you've got to live in heaven and you've got to live on earth. And you're part of the body of Christ. And a parallel passage, 1 Corinthians 12 from Ephesians chapter 4, it says this, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, they would, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. But God has combined the members of the body. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And that's from the NIV. And it's quite interesting because the title was Members of One Another. Because 1 Corinthians 12 talks about we are many parts, one body. But God combined the members. Because there is a difference between being a part and being a member. For example, I could have brought a bat. Well, I couldn't actually. It's not legal. It's not ethical. I could have brought a bag and I could have pulled out of my bag an ear and a hand. Yes? And a leg. And I could have said to you, here are parts. All right? And I look around here. And there are parts, body parts. I would have been arrested. Would have had a hint of suspicion. Why were you doing that chainsaw course at night school last week? Okay. But we're not called to be parts. We're created as parts. We're called to be members. What's the difference between a part and a member? Well, have you ever heard the... If we had that, you would say they've been dismembered. In other words, once they formed a body, but now they've been separated, and now they're parts. Do you understand? Yeah. All right. So, for example, another example, more recently, a week before last, I rang up Gary. Gary was here at the back, and I said we were talking about getting together, and he said, well, Roy, I was going to do an impersonation of you, Gary, but I won't because you're here. No. I'll name them. And I said, well, you know, do you fancy getting together? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, well, okay, never mind. And he said, do you fancy coming to Zumba? And I said, yeah, of course, anything with you, Gary. Yeah, come Zumba. Yeah, we'll have a bit of that. Yeah. So anyway, we hung up, said, we'll meet you out and I'll pick you up and we'll go to this Zumba. And I'm thinking, what's this Zumba that I've just agreed to go to? So I think it was the Wednesday night we were getting together, wasn't it? 8 o'clock, the lakeside. Any guys want to join us? And so I Googled the Tuesday, what is Zumba? I thought it was a restaurant in South Road. So I'm looking at this, and I thought, hang on, what's this? So I'm thinking, that can't be it, but it was. And so I met with Gary, and we went, didn't we? I think Julie thought it was hilarious, but... So there are two blokes in a Zumba class. So we're at the back, aren't we? Okay. Now, the thing is, we couldn't have gone to Zumba as body parts. It only worked when we were members, not of the class, but our bodies were joined together. In other words, by moving together.
Didn't exactly work, though, Rob.
do you want to share, Gary? In fact, I was waiting for you. I thought you weren't here because when we had God's great dance floor, I thought you were going to be up here. I mean, Avril, you got no excuse. Okay. Because she was there too. I'm not sure whether she was... Well, anyway, we won't ask for your contribution. Listen, we did it. We did it. I think that deserves a round of applause. Anyway. So, yeah. Are we going back on Wednesday? Well, why not? Yeah, we're giving it a go. 8 o'clock, the lakeside. Any guys who want to be there, that's fine. Yeah, I just don't look very good in Lycra, but that's another story. But you see, it doesn't work when we're parts. It only worked when we're members. In other words, it's about how the body parts connect. It's about your connections. Do you get that? Okay. And part of the problem, I think, today in Christian land is that we very much emphasize being a part, but we don't emphasize being a member. And there's a world of difference. So we are parts, but are we members? You're a part by design. God has made you to be a part. But you're a member through your connections. You are what you are, but you're empowered to function through your connections. Do you get that? And there are a lot of people who are walking out their Christian experience in isolation and in an individualistic manner because they don't want to be connected. And because they're not connected, they're never going to be empowered. And because they're not empowered, they're never going to be effective. Do you understand? You are effective through your connections. Hello? And we've got a form of Christianity today that thinks that it can work on the back of a few YouTube videos or on the back of a few worship CDs, and we can live an individualistic Christian life and live separately and segregated and in an isolated manner, claiming victory when you will only truly experience the fullness of the Godhead when you're connected in the body. Ephesians 4:15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined, connected, and held together, connected by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. As each part does its work. Parts connected, builds up, grows up, a mature body. And when we lose connection, we fail to fulfill the commission and the calling of God, because while God blesses you as an individual, what God can do on the earth with a connected body is incalculably greater than what he can do through us as individuals. Building itself up. Building itself up how? In love. In love, connected to love, as each part does its work. And what we have as today, of course, is churches that try to base themselves on one particular personality or figure or gifted person. And that's a mistake. That's not God's design for church living. God's Spirit lives in every one of his people. Every one of his people has a contribution to make to the process of building up the whole body. If you think that this church will grow because we have a pastor or because we have some full-time workers, you're deluding yourself and you're robbing not only this church but this community of what we potentially could be in Christ when we recognize that each one of us has a responsibility to be connected and play our part and thereby build up the body of Christ and exhibit and manifest Christ in the earth. Ephesians 4:22. It says, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. It's funny, isn't it? Who's he writing to? He's writing to church folk. Put off your old self. It's interesting, isn't it? That means that you could still, if you chose to, carry around in your life your old self. You have a choice to make. Be made new. In the attitude of your minds, this is all connected to the body growing. It's not separate truth. It's an integral part of the truth. And to put on the new self. In other words, it only works, folks, when we are prepared to allow for a fresh attitude to come into our life. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for all members of one body. The Bible says earlier on in this particular passage, speaking the truth in love, we grow up. And I always find there's a resistance to being prepared to love somebody enough to speak the truth into their lives. Because you see, there's no such fruit of the Spirit in the Bible as nice. The problem is, we think we come to church to be nice people. And it's not right that we're nice people. It's nice to be around nice people, but God's not called us just to be nice people. He's called us to be effective people. And sometimes, grievous though it may be, sometimes we have to acquaint people with truth that they don't necessarily like to embrace. Sometimes there's tough love involved, isn't there? And we have to tell people. The Bible talked about earlier on, it talked about not being blown around by waves and every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of wind out in the church today, and I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of wind of doctrine. There are a lot of teachings out there today. Bagger teaching. There's all sorts of stuff out there today, and it's not all godly. It's not all appropriate. It's not all helpful. A lot of people chasing the latest great thing or the latest great charismatic figure or personality. Folks, build on this. Build on this. That doesn't mean to say we can't affirm or we can't recognize truth that comes through a particular person or a particular movement. Nevertheless, never attempt to build on it. You build on the truth that's in this. People come and people go. The church is littered with shooting stars, people who've promised greatness and yet 6 months down the road, a shipwreck. And because people have based themselves on that individual or charismatic personality, they too become shipwrecked because now all of a sudden the basis of their faith has been kicked from under their feet. With all due respect to anyone, whatever they may call themselves, build on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Last time I showed you this. This is about adopting a new attitude. This is about being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, the problem you have is not out there. You think your problem is your next door neighbor. You think the problem is the work colleague. You think the problem is society as a whole. You think the problem is the 6 o'clock news. You think the problem is something else. Your biggest problem isn't out there. Your biggest problem's in here. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation in your life comes when you adopt a fresh way of thinking. A way of thinking that's renewed, that's regenerated by the application of truth that's in here. That's why truth sets you free. Okay? We want to be a transformed people. We want to be a company of transformed people. We want to be a company of transformed people so that we can overflow and bring transformation to our community and to the wider world. The church is called to be an initiator, an inaugurator of transformation, starting us, but works its way out there. That's the challenge. And I have to allow God to get my thinking around the way he thinks. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says God. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I need to bring my thinking up towards his thinking. Transformed, we talked about that. From this, through a process, into that. Look at this. And he goes deeper now, Paul, because he's saying that the body is effective only when the parts are connected in relationship and the body's building itself up through love. It says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. I'm going to pause there for a moment. Hang on, Paul. You've just been telling me that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above. Yeah? So that's my heavenly reality. But now you're writing to the church and you're saying to the church, get rid of all, get rid of. Isn't it funny? So suddenly this heaven-based people who are called to be connected, to be effectively the body of Christ, manifesting the love of God, the purpose of God to planet Earth, are suddenly being confronted with a challenge to get rid of all. Get rid of. Isn't it funny? Back to Earth of the bump. And it's shocking to discover that he only had to write to these people to get rid of these things if these things actually were present in the church. He had to encourage them or command them to get rid of all this garbage. And we are garbage collectors, folks. Our lives collect garbage. Get rid of. And I wonder where we sit today as Kingsway Christian Fellowship in a measuring line of what we need to get rid of. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. What a shopping list of accumulated garbage that must have been present in the church at Ephesus. But I wonder to what extent it exists in my life and in your life and in this church's life. Bitterness. Rage. Why do you come to church on a Sunday morning? Rage. I've heard of road rage. It's the first time I've heard of church rage. anger, brawling. Oh my goodness me, when was the last time we had an elders meeting? Brawling, slander, slagging people off. Oh my goodness, I'm looking around the room here, I'm thinking there's no one in this room who's possibly bad-mouthed anyone. Can't possibly be, Paul, you're right into the wrong church. Folks, get rid of it all. Get rid of it all. We're not called to be critics. See, we criticize people and we claim it's discernment. It isn't discernment, it's criticism. It's slander. You see, if we were able to patch from the tape deck or whatever we have now, MP3, there you go, I'm with us. And we were patching some of our telephone conversations or some of the conversations we'd had during the week, we'd said about people, I wonder how ashamed we'd feel or how big we'd feel. Just a question. When we speak about each other, we should speak about people in an honoring way, in a caring way, in a loving way. If we believe there is genuinely there's something wrong in a situation, it's not for me to go around being a hatchet man, going around giving my self-righteous judgment on someone else's life. The best thing I can do is live the life that Christ has called me to be, and when I get the opportunity to correct somebody with a spirit of gentleness, which is what Christ calls me to do. But these things need stripping out of the church. Bitterness. Bitterness in the church. I was going to order this online. Okay. Bitterness. Bitterness, if you harbor bitterness in your life towards somebody or towards a situation, bitterness, drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. What you're doing by holding bitterness is you're hoping that by some weird mechanism you are cursing or you're bringing punishment on someone else. The only person who is being poisoned and polluted is you. Bitterness will strangle the life out of you. I don't care what anyone's done towards you, because I don't care what anyone's done towards me. They're forgiven. There's no bitterness. Why? I cannot afford the luxury of allowing bitterness in my life. It kills me. I've done it. I can talk from experience. It does not work. It didn't detrimentally affect the person against whom I was bitter. The only person it destroyed was me. Let it go. Don't allow that toxicity into your life. Forgiveness. Rage and anger. Brawling. They were having a punch-up in the 10 o'clock service. A punch-up in the prayer meeting. Sister Aggie, you prayed too long. Go into an hour's prayer meeting and you can guarantee that Sister Aggie is going to pray at least 6 20-minute prayers. And you think, for goodness sake, I don't know why I came. I couldn't get a word in edgeways. Well, if Sister Aggie's here today, let me do us all a favor, please, Aggie. And please get yourself a stopwatch and limit yourself to 30 seconds. Okay. The secret's in the phrase prayer meeting, not prayer monopoly. If you want to pray for that length of time, please stay home. Pray at home. I'll pay you to stay at home. Okay. We're not in a competition who can pray the longest prayer. It's not, you don't get a gold medal for it. Get to the point and say amen. Move on. And you don't have to have 6 people pray for the same thing. The secret of prayer is pray believing. Yeah? Jesus talked about vain, repetitious prayers. He must have met Sister Aggie. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander. Stop slagging each other off. Stop talking behind each other's back. Stop thinking that God's called you to be his great high executioner, bringing righteous judgment on individuals or the church. You're not. Back off. Get off your pedestal. Hang the wig up and put away the gavel. The end of the day, forgive. Love. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Just as in Christ God forgave you, just as in Christ. Our forgiveness should be a Christ-like forgiveness. He didn't wait for me to get right before he forgave me. He forgave me before I got right. Hallelujah. Okay. A new attitude. Bin it to win it. Whatever you've got, whatever junk you've got in your life, unforgiveness, people have let you down. Look, if you've been in church for more than 6 months, somebody's let you down. If you've been in church more than a year, somebody's offended you. If you've been in church more than 5 years, somebody's probably slagged you off, slandered you, asked you to do something you didn't want to do, made you feel bad, didn't ring you up, the pastor didn't smile at you when you were leaving church today, you haven't had 3 visits this week from the elders. There's always a reason, isn't there? There's always a reason. With all due respect, get over yourself. My first connection is with Jesus Christ. I live out of my connection with Jesus Christ. I do not hold you responsible for my life. But God holds me responsible to look for ways in which I can contribute to your life. Do you get the difference? There are some people in life and there are some people in church who just are perpetually on a cycle of what's in it for me? What can I take? My needs haven't been met. Do you know what best way to get your needs met? Is to go and serve and look to meet the needs of other people. It's the truth. Adopt a new attitude towards one another relationally. Relationally. Look, bin it to win it. Okay. Martin Luther King. Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It's a permanent attitude. I don't go round once every Sunday saying, oh God, here I am in church again. Look what you've put me with again this Sunday. But Lord, hey ho, before I sing the latest Matt Redman, I really about had to forgive someone. Okay? You have to cultivate a constant attitude of forgiveness. Jesus said, when the disciples said, how many times should we forgive? 70 times 7, which wasn't a mathematical formula for those of you who said, well, they did it 71 times 7, so now I can slap him, Lord. That is not what Jesus said. Even in the Amplified Bible, you live, look, God's heart towards me is constant forgiveness. God, your heart towards others should be the same. How connected are we? Christians in isolation, don't hack it. If you want to be effective in your walk in Jesus Christ, you're as good as your connections. How connected are we? You're empowered through your connections. Did you hear what was said earlier? It said that which, listen, doesn't say that which every part supplies. It said that which every joint supplies. What's a joint? A joint is a connection. It's a connecting point between two or more parts. It's that which every joint supplies. It's that which every connection in the body of Christ supplies. That's why you need to be connected relationally with people. Yes. You're stronger through connection. As a part of the night trying to plait that. But you're stronger through your connections. Nearly finished. So in conclusion, Recognize who Christ is as Lord and head. Recognize who you are in Christ. Christ is seated and you're seated with him. So from the perspective of salvation, you're saved. There's nothing you can add or subtract. You are who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. It's a done deal. It's a finished work. It's a wonderful thing. Your walk now out of your position of being seated, your walk on planet Earth should match your talk. You're a part of the body, but are you a member? You're a member to the extent that you're connected in correct order with other people. Living free of bitterness and unresolved issues. If you've got any issue with anyone in the church here, or a church you've left previously. Some people have been around 16 churches. They change church every 3 weeks. They fall out with someone. The problem with roots of bitterness is they tend to merge up again. Whatever you've got in your past, whoever's offended you, whatever they've done, let it go. Because it's only killing you. It's not killing them. It's only affecting you. It's not affecting them. It's holding you back. It's not affecting holding them back. Get rid of it. Junk the junk. Live free of bitterness and unresolved issues. And be committed to the development of healthy function and growth in your own life and in the body of Christ, whether it's here or wherever God's planned and purpose for you to be a part of. Amen? Is that okay? And I'm going to park the bus at that point. Can we stand together if you're able? Thank you. You've been sat down a long time. I appreciate that. You see, the day of individualism is at an end. The reason that the church has not been as effective as it should have been is because we've bred a culture of individualism. God has placed us in churches, in groups of believers to be connected. It's through our connections we're empowered, and through our connections we will change planet Earth. So firstly, I just want to pray. Let's close our eyes for a minute. I'm not asking people to come to the front. You can just do this transaction at your seat because it's not between you and me. It's between you and Jesus. He's the head. So if you know that you've been carrying junk, you've been carrying bitterness and unforgiveness, if you've had malice, what a horrible word to have in the church, malice, maliciousness in your heart towards anyone, in Jesus' name, let it go. Forgive. Father, I forgive. Whoever it was, whatever they've done, Jesus, I forgive. I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. Jesus said, if you don't forgive people, then God won't forgive you. Forgiveness sets you free. You may think it's difficult because I don't know what they've done to offend you. No, I don't, and I don't need to. This is a transaction between you and Jesus. Forgive, let it go, be released. Release yourself in the name of Jesus. And then secondly, I trust this morning, perhaps for those of you who've been perhaps feeling isolated or perhaps you've willfully isolated yourself, there is time to reconnect and invest in healthy relationships in the body of Christ. Find your place. Look for what it is you can do to add value to the church here. It's not down to the pastor. It's not down to the worship leaders. It's not down to the whosoever's. It's down to every part being connected because it's that which every joint supplies that brings about growth in the body. And I don't want to be in this church in 12 months' time and look at the church not growing. It's got to grow, not just quantitatively, but qualitatively. It's about quality first, not quantity. So, Father, we come to you today and we thank you for the fact that you've called us in the name of Jesus to be in Christ, seated far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Father, that your plan and purpose was to, God, just reveal your truth through your body, which is the church on earth. And we thank you, Father, that it's your intention to strengthen us with all might by your spirit in our inner being. But Father, today we come to you and we ask that you would, at this point in our development as a congregation and as a company and as a family of God's people, that God, you'd reconnect us, Lord, in wholesome relationships, that we'd put aside all the bitterness and unforgiveness, that we'd put aside cynicism, because, Lord, it's so easy for us to become skeptical and cynics. Lord, to become church experts, which sometimes strangles the life out of us. Father, we lay that aside. We lay aside our judgmentalism, our self-righteousness. We lay aside, Father, all the things that we think give us a right, Lord God, to cast stones at other people in self-righteous judgment. Father, we affirm ourselves to be bond slaves of Jesus. We lay ourselves afresh on the altar, Father, and we ask that you'd reform this body, Lord God, in the shape and in the function that you've designed and purposed for it. Father, we commit ourselves, Lord, to commit ourselves to building loving, loving, loving relationships, that we be kind and tender-hearted towards one another, forgiving each other continually, keeping short accounts with each other. Father, desiring the best for each other and from each other. God, that this church, Lord God, would explode with the love of God. And that, Father, Lord, there would be a manifestation of the reality and the power of Jesus Christ in this local community, in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for listening. Have a lovely afternoon. God bless.